Hi, welcome to the Lifehouse podcast. We're glad you're with us. We hope you enjoy this message about Jesus and his love for you. I pray that it's a personal encouragement to you. Let's jump right in.
All of us love a before and after picture. You know, Instagram is just loaded with before and after pictures, whether it's losing weight, whether it's exercising. You know, I'm of an age where it puts up wall Pilates for old ladies on my Insta feed. And so you've got ladies who were once unfit, now very, very fit and healthy because of wall Pilates. So, you know, we love before and after and the win of the after. And we've been talking about renovating our house. So on my feed is flat out before and after renovating. So the guys have got a couple of pics that have been coming on my screen. You know, old house, wow, Richard, we could do that. And then, you know, wow, imagine if we did that. And when you're looking at these before and after pics, the exciting thing is that you feel like you've done it. Like you get the dopamine hit of, wow, we are awesome. So, you know, it looks easy, it's going to be great. So Richard and I decided we would renovate. So we got inspired over January and we started the job. Now, what we started is we've got the outside of our house is red brick with orange paint. I think we've got a picture of that. That's the house we've been living in. And so we got excited. We are going to transform this thing. We are going to turn it into beautiful white painted with some bagging render on it. We're going to see, look at that. And we've got black window trims, little bit of a contrast. There's going to be a black roof. This thing is going to be amazing. It's going to be beautiful. The problem is that the before and after pics don't show you the work in the middle. A before and after pic just fast forwards you from what I have now to the wow of what I'm going to have. So Richard and I over January have been living in the wow of what we're going to have, and the reality actually has now hit. You know, the paint-soaked hands, the damaged fingernails, the sore back, the exhausted feeling. That's all Richard. I've done none of it, honestly. I have not lifted a finger. Or the slow, dull, boring repetition of the process. There are a lot of timbers on the front of that house. Every single one of them needs to be sanded, repaired, before it can be painted. It's going to be a long, boring job. You know, we all have dreams, we all have hopes, things we're trying to achieve, whether it's getting married or running a marathon. Maybe it's a successful business. Maybe it's being an innovator. You want to be Steve Jobs. You're going to invent that one thing or create that app that's going to take over the world, that one big bang thing. Maybe you want to be a worldwide preacher. Maybe you want to plant a church. You know, as a church, we've got amazing vision and room for people to live out their God gifts. Maybe you've got a desire to be able, when you pray for people, they receive healing. You know God's spoken to you about that. You want to see that happen in your life. Maybe you want to lead and mentor people. How do we get there? How do we get from here, from the before, to the after? How do we get from what we're dreaming and imagining to this place, this outworking of who we want to be and what we believe we're called to? Well, we're in the middle of a series called Discipline, so something tells me that's probably going to be one of the things that will help. So today I want to talk about the power of consistency. So consistency is a significant factor in achieving transformation and reaching our goals. It involves the accumulation of repeated actions and decisions over time. So, you know, imagine you decide you want to get fit. Like, you know, really, all of us have been there at some stage. And, you know, you want to get fit. So you say, right, I'm going to go to the gym for 10 hours on Saturday and it'll be done. People would laugh at you. Of course you're not going to be fit. You're going to be very sore and probably need to go to the hospital after 10 hours at the gym. But, you know, it's not going to take that. It's going to take 20 minutes every day over a period of time to improve your fitness. What about staying in love? Staying in love with your partner. You know, Valentine's Day, who got had a beautiful Valentine's Day this week? Anyone in the room get some flowers? Hello? Hello? Just pretend. Put up your arm. Pretend. Oh, we've got some work to do, Rich. Anyone get taken for dinner? Nice dinner? Well, Valentine's Day. You know, you can't build a relationship based on Valentine's Day. The most amazing Valentine's Day is not going to keep you married forever. It's the I love you every day. It's the thinking about your partner every day. It's being intentional to say kind words every day. It's the consistent, boring, basic, everyday love that is going to keep your marriage alive. So renovating a house, staying in love, getting fit, it's the consistent effort and repetition that are necessary for transformational success. It's not about the intense burst of activity, but rather about consistently doing the little thing well and compound it over time. So this concept is actually emphasized in a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins, a fantastic book. It's a great book, you should read it. And he reveals the keys to a good company becoming a great company. So he does all this research on companies that were just average that then became really significant, really amazing, really successful companies. So going from good, they weren't bad companies, they were good companies that became great companies. And he says this, we're going to have the quote on the screen for you. He says, no matter how dramatic the end result, the good to great transformations never happened in one fell swoop. There was no single defining action, no grand program, no one killer innovation, no solitary lucky break, no wrenching revolution. Good to great comes about by a cumulative process. Step by step, action by action, decision by decision, turn by turn of the flywheel. That adds up to sustained and spectacular results. So it's the discipline of consistent small actions and decisions that get us to our best outcome. The Bible shows us this in a picture in Jeremiah. So I want to take us there this morning, Jeremiah chapter 18. And we're going to read from this particular scripture. It says, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there. So I did, as he told me, and I found the potter working at the wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave me this message, O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. So God takes Jeremiah by the hand. He sort of goes, come on, we're going to go down to the potter's shop. I want to show you something. And when he gets there, he says, hey, you watch, you look. So Jeremiah saw that. He looked at that. And this picture shows us the skilled potter shaping the clay. It's a metaphor of the relationship that God has with us. This is a picture for us to understand who we are in God's hands. And the potter represents God, who has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us, for his people, every one of you. If you're here for the first time today, God has a plan and a purpose for you. He wants to be connected to you. He wants to know you. He's got a plan. So the potter is God. The clay symbolizes God's people. When we're fully submitted to his guidance, to in his hands, allowing him to do what he does. The water is the Holy Spirit. And he keeps adding the Holy Spirit to keep the clay soft and be able to be moved. And the potter's wheel is an essential part of what we just saw, the potter's wheel. But there's some things about the wheel that I want to think about today, some really special things. Some of you might not have even noticed the wheel. Most of us are so busy looking at the clay and looking at the hands, seeing what's coming, this beautiful goblet, that you don't even notice that there's a wheel spinning underneath. But the wheel is distinct because it's got this rhythm, this constant rhythm. It just was going around. It was going around so dull. If we had to watch it for much longer, we'd go to sleep. You know, the wheel itself is very boring. It's restrained. It's limited. It can't just go all around the room. It was limited. It wasn't free to move. It was consistent. It's unnoticed. As I said, most of us probably didn't even see the wheel. It's undervalued. You know, we don't really appreciate that the job of the wheel itself, but without the wheel, there's no way that potter could have created something that was so so symmetric, so centrally balanced. At the end, I heard you all, because it looked like it was going to fall off. But that was because he had this perfect balance going with the wheel. It was the job of the wheel, and we undervalue the wheel. It's unappreciated. You know, when you see a fantastic piece of ceramics that's been made like that, you don't think, wow, what was the wheel like? Yeah, I'd like to know. I'd like to go. No, the wheel's messy. It's unattractive. It's not the wow factor. The wow factor is what is created by the potter when he works with the clay on the wheel. So the question is, what's the wheel? What's the wheel for you and I? The wheel is this thing called spiritual disciplines. It's the stuff that helps us become established in God. And that's this theme we're on. This series is discipline. So consistency in our spiritual disciplines, such as attending a healthy church, reading the Bible, prayer, serving, participating in small groups, go grow groups, tithing, worship, all these things play a vital role in our spiritual growth and transformation. And although sometimes these things might feel repetitive, read your Bible every day, I'm going to prayer meeting, I'm going to grow group again, sometimes it feels like, am I on team again? Am I on the roster? You know, some of us are like, yeah, I'm on the roster. Some of us like, but although these things sometimes are difficult and sometimes feel a little bit bland, in God's hands on the wheel, we get molded and shaped into who he's called us to be. We get trained for what God has for us. We get equipped for our purpose. With discipline and consistency, we're transformed. But, you know, let's be honest. It's good to be honest, hey? That's the idea of what we're doing here. Most of us love the wow. Most of us love the, you know, the prophetic word we got, and wow, that was just so amazing, and I'm going to do great things. Most of us love, you know, a church service where the presence of God just falls in a powerful way, and oh, you should have been there. It was amazing. We love the wow. Most of us don't love the consistent, stable pieces of the thing that build us up to be who God's called us to be. But you know what? It's those things that actually cause us to grow into maturity. It's those things that make us grow as Christians to do what God has called us to do. Consistently engaging in those things yields results more than if we just do a one-off. You know, it's like eating a healthy meal. You want to get healthy? You eat one healthy meal, it's really not going to do much. But if you just change a few small habits, just do a small thing a lot of times, you will see results in your health. It's like a prayer, like learning to pray. You could go to a once a year, come to a 5-hour prayer, you know, prayer intensive, and you leave going, oh, I'm on fire. But it's actually not going to teach you to pray like praying 5 minutes in the shower every morning. Praying 5 minutes every day will start to build your prayer muscles. And you know what? Everyone can do that. We can all pray 5 minutes a day in the shower. True? I've got a quote on the screen here. Becoming a mature Christian involves committing to effective practices over an extended period, resulting in a remarkable transformation. You know, God wants to shift us. He wants to take us from before to after. And it's going to come with the systematic stuff in the middle. And it starts with a relationship with Jesus. So really, how do we get ourselves on the wheel? How do we get ourselves into the potter's hand so he can do all that he's designed for us and through us and in us? We say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my heart. And we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of this service to do that. Because every single one of us is designed to be in connection with our potter, with God. We're designed to be in his hands and know him and love him. So the first part is to have a relationship with Jesus. But the spiritual disciplines then grow us. Now, the tricky thing is that sometimes we sort of start to feel like they're rewards. Like, oh, I'm so awesome, you know. I read my Bible. I read my Bible every day. And we see them as like tick boxes on our achievements of Christianity. And we feel like maybe God's happier with us because we've done these wonderful things. But we don't earn our love with God. We can't get more holy before God because we've prayed more or come to church more or any of these things. We are saved by grace, by Jesus, fully free, gift from Him. You should be getting a bit excited in the room right now. We aren't saved by these things. These things are the catalyst that God uses to help grow and transform us. But first, we are saved by grace. Hebrews 11:6. I just want to remind us, because I don't want, as we talk about discipline, we can easily take our focus off what the discipline's for. The discipline is not for its own purpose. The discipline is to connect us to God. The discipline is to allow God to have room in our hearts to speak. The discipline is to grow our spiritual muscles so that God can use us and send us out in the giftings and talents we have to be effective on the earth as He's called us to be. The discipline is not the thing that connects us. So Hebrews 11:6 says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists, and He rewards those who seek Him sincerely." So the disciplines are the ways we can seek Him sincerely. God loves us. He's for us. We're fully accepted by His grace. But then, how are you going to grow up in that? How are you going to be strong? How are we going to mature? Paul talks about being mature in the Lord. You know, it's a word most of us don't like using. Oh, she's a bit mature. But really, when it comes to in God, I want to be mature. I want to be someone says, hey, she's mature in the Lord. So Ephesians 4, it says, when we're mature, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. You know, when we hear some whisper of something or our friends start throwing things at us that aren't biblical, when we're mature, we'll be like, oh, no, I know. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. So how will you know when God is speaking? Because you've practiced listening. You've been listening intentionally every day. And when God really needs to speak loud, you'll be like, oh, I know that voice. How will you know how to handle a financial issue in your family, in your home? You'll know because you know what God's word says about finances and money and navigating difficulty. How will you navigate a difficult teenager? You'll have insight and support because you're in a grow group. You're in a community of people who are with you and you've built up relationship because you're there consistently. How will you cope with stress and trouble at work? Well, you'll know from the word that when you meditate on God and be still and listen, that He brings peace that goes beyond your understanding or your circumstance. And you will have practiced that and learned that. So your spiritual disciplines put us in God's hands so He can shape and mold and transform us. So we can be like the clay on the wheel. Come on, give God some praise. You know, the wheel is actually where we are the safest and the most secure. Sometimes we think that in that space that it's like, oh, I don't know, it sounds like it might be hard work, but no, it's actually the place where you can completely relax and trust God. It's when you saw that clay in the potter's hand, the clay didn't do anything. The clay was just there, like, okay, you're leading me, you're guiding me. I'm just here on the wheel. I'm just here every week. I'm just here opening my Bible. I'm just here trusting with my grow group, listening and growing and learning. I'm just here, God. You lead me. You show me. So when the wheel is where we can really trust that God is with us. You know, Isaiah 64:8 says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." You know, how beautiful. Here, right here in this room is a room full of beautiful, finished pieces that God has created. Well, we're not finished, actually. He's got more for us. We're being molded and shaped in His hands. And so often we don't even realize that we've changed. You know, it's years later that we look back and go, wow, I used to think like that. Now I think like this. I used to talk like that. Now I talk like this. I used to struggle with this addiction over here. And now I don't even, it's just not even a part of my life. The things we see with time, I used to really, like, money was a big issue for me. I really was fearful. And now I'm a really generous person. I've changed. We find there's a before and an after picture. You know, I was fearful of being a mum. I was fearful of being a mum. As a young woman, I'm like, oh, I don't know, God. But with God and on the journey, I'm a great mum. I'm an awesome mum. And now I'm an awesome grandma. But it's a before and after. We want to go straight from here to here, but there's a journey in the middle. You know, but it doesn't happen in the wow moments. It doesn't happen in the super moments. We all love the super moments. But recently we had a prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting here every Sunday morning at 9:00. You're very welcome to join us. And we have a prayer meeting as our staff team every Wednesday at 9 a.m. And once again, you're very welcome to join us. And so every week we have a prayer meeting. It's your average prayer meeting. Honestly, most weeks we maybe sing a song, we talk to God, give Him glory, we invite Him to help us, we bring up prayer needs, we pray for you if you're sick. It's, you know, it's a great prayer meeting. But then this one week, we started praying, and then we just felt like this blanket fell in the room, that something had shifted, and then somebody had a prophetic word for someone, and then I had this vision that God was pouring out things on me, blessing on me, and then, you may have heard of people falling in the spirit with all the people, you know, and then I'm down and I'm on the ground and I'm just sensing God's presence. Like, this meeting was one of those wow meetings. We didn't plan it. We didn't organize it. God just showed up. We were faithfully doing week after week of prayer meeting, and God just showed up. When I eventually came to, the whole room, this one's crying. God's given them a word for encouragement. This one's had breakthrough about. It was amazing. It was like just one of those wow meetings. And Richard wasn't there. For whatever reason, it was valid. And he's like, what? The one meeting I miss, something amazing happens. Like, why? Well, you know what? You don't know which meeting's going to be the super meeting. You don't know which one God's going to turn this place upside down and inside out. So don't miss out. Come to church every week. Come to church every week. Don't pick and choose. You know, oh, I want the super week. You don't know which one is the super week. It's like, eating food. Every meal sustains us. Every meal we eat actually fuels our body. Whether it's an exciting meal or a boring meal, it sustains our body. And you know what? Every time we come into church, it feeds your spirit. Every time you're in this room, God is ministering to you. You're connecting with people. You're growing in your faith. You're hearing a word that you need to hear. Your spirit is getting touched and filled. You grow as you serve. You know, these are all the rhythms, the regular things we do. You're being kind, you're being gracious. You know, all this stuff happens when you come to church every week. And sometimes we come thinking, I want a super thing. God, just keep coming every week. Just be here every week. And before you know it, you're going to go from before to after. You're going to be transformed, reshaped, molded into who God's called you to be because of the discipline of just being in the house. Come on, give God some praise. You know, I love Timothy in the Bible. You know, he wrote some of the letters Paul writes to him. He's Paul's assistant. He's Paul's offsider. He's traveled. And when we hear about this beautiful young man, Timothy, he grew up in the church. He was part of the very early church. His grandmother was part of the church. He'd been raised in there every single week. Then he goes into kids ministry. Then he goes into an internship to learn how to be a leader. He does Bible college, basically. Then he's off planting churches, leading. He's a young person who's come all the way from the very beginning of their life in church world and has consistently stayed the path. And I want to tell you, if you're a young person in this room who's been brought up in church, who's been raised in church, it's a blessing, it's a privilege, it's an honor. And so you don't have to have some testimony of you going out there. You don't have to. You can stay right here. You can stay strong. You can stay on the path. You can stay in God's molding all along the way. So don't resent that. Don't look to the, no, maybe I need a more exciting story. You have an exciting story. God has called you. God has appointed you. He's put you here in this house for you to be strong. And I really feel for some of you that's a word from God today. Don't be distracted. Parents, keep your kids in the house. Raise them in the house. Primary school, youth, right up. That's what's built the every leader you see on this platform just about. Well, many of the leaders who are our kids have been here every single week. Many of them have been raised in the house, and God can build on that at such a young age. It's good, hey. You know, another discipline, and I don't want to talk about all the disciplines today because my point is the disciplines are important, all of them. But I'm just helping you see a couple of them. So one of them that I think is a bit unusual is solitude, which means being alone. And most of us, you know, some of us just love being alone, but solitude is intentional being alone, and most of us don't really enjoy it. Most of us want people around us, you know, fun things to do. But solitude is actually really valuable as a spiritual discipline. And Jesus himself chose solitude to face six different things that were going on in his life. So I think this is really helpful for us to see. I just want to give those to you. So he would use solitude to prepare for a major task of public ministry. Before he went public, he set himself apart to recharge after hard work. He'd been really busy. He'd been flat out. So he took time out for solitude. He was working through grief. And so in that season of grief, he sought solitude, time alone with God, just for God to speak to him and minister to him. Before an important decision, as he went to face the cross, he said, I'm going to go and be alone. Give me some time. In a time of distress and as a focus on prayer, he sought solitude. You know, so even that, finding space every day for reflection, for a moment just to go, okay, God, it's just you and me. I just want to just step away from my big world and find space. So these disciplines, you know, Jesus himself had spiritual disciplines, used spiritual disciplines. So if he needed them, how much more do you and I need them if we're going to be who God's called us to be, yeah? Discipline matures us. It strengthens us so we can live in the fullness of God. You know, I had this picture of an army, like an army guy, a soldier, and he's been given his big kit. They carry the big backpack that's 25 kilos or whatever amazing weight it is. And in that pack, there's so many different things, so many tools that he needs, the equipment that he needs. Everything is there in the pack. And you know what? As Christians, God gives us everything. We have everything that we need. We have the fullness of God. We have his spirit living inside us. We have all the gifts that he needs us to have. But the problem is we don't know how to use them. We don't know what's even there. We don't even understand our identity, our worth, our authority in Christ, all these things that are in the pack. And God says it's in the spiritual disciplines that you're going to understand what's in there. I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you. You're going to learn and you're going to grow. That's what, when you read your word, you're going to understand what's there. When you pray with others, you're going to learn how to pray in authority and how to have breakthrough. When you start to pray for people and you see something shift, you're going to be like, okay, that's Holy Spirit speaking. Me and Holy Spirit working together. Okay. When you're in a business deal, in a meeting, and you're like, I don't know. God, speak to me. You're going to learn as the Spirit spiritual disciplines, as you do that every time you go into a meeting, God, speak to me today. God, speak to me. Oh, that was God speaking. I heard that. You're going to tune your ear. It's the disciplines that train us so that God can actually release us. He can release us. Because you know what? we're called to be people of authority. We're called to take ground. We're not just called to just sort of like, oh, I've got to come in from the big battle and come in here and sort of get a bit renewed so I can... No, no, we're meant to come in here a little bit more battle-worthy and go out into the world. I'm here. I'm a representative of Christ in my school. I'm a representative of Christ in my workplace. I carry the authority of the Most High God as I walk into the shopping center today. God, who am I going to speak to? Which shop assistant needs my care today? Who am I going to run into in a coffee shop that I have a word of wisdom for? That's what God wants us to be. God wants us to be released as his warriors. How do we get there? It's the boring spiritual disciplines, the everyday, the consistent, the unnoticed, the stuff that no one ever knows you even did, the praying that no one ever even sees. It's that stuff. It's the worship. It's the lifting your voice. It's just being disciplined to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. All these things train us. But did you notice in the video how much water was added? He just kept adding water. And you know what? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need the Holy Spirit every day to refill us and refresh us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18 says this, "And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." You know, in God's hands with his Spirit, God molds us and changes us. It's not us. It's not our work. It's his. We just need to create a platform that God can work with. You know, he is the perfect potter, our Heavenly Father. He is magnificent. And, you know, when people look at us, the idea is they give him glory. When they see us, when they meet us, when you interact, people meet God because he lives in us. When we receive Jesus, God lives in us. And, you know, when you see a beautiful vase, it's like, oh, what a great vase. But really, you think about the artist. You think about the creator. Who made that vase? Wow. Who is so skilled? And, you know, so people see us and glorify God because of what he's doing. But it all starts with little steps. Like we said at the beginning, good to great isn't some big dramatic thing. The big dramatic things are good, they're not bad, but they're not going to bring long-term transformational change. It's the consistent effort and repetition that are necessary for transformational success.
We hope this message inspired you. To find out more about us, head to our website at lifehouse.global.